I invite you to take your Bible to just one passage of Scripture today, John 3:16. I want to talk to you about a subject that's on everybody's mind, gift-giving 101. One of my favorite things to do every Christmas season is look up the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog. I want you to know I'm slightly ahead on writing my sermons, and I composed this sermon back in July of this year. The 2016 catalog was not available, so I had to scroll back through 196 pages of the 2015 catalog online. I just wanted to point out a few gifts that you might want to put on your list for someone very special. One movie star named Keanu Reeves was asked to build and design three custom motorcycles for Neiman Marcus customers. The price tag per motorcycle is $150,000. Also included with this motorcycle, you get a two-day motorcycle trip in Malibu and Santa Monica with Reeves and his partner, Gary Hollinger, as they own Arch Motorcycles Incorporated. And that might not be grandiose enough. There was another gift in the Neiman Marcus catalog, which included a $400,000 dream trip to India. And I'll have to be honest with you, that would have to be a bad dream if I was going to India. But this dream trip included 12 days as a guest on your own private jet. This jet would take you from place to place in India, and then they had some vintage cars to take you to the finest hotels, restaurants, guided tours, and more. This would appeal more to people from Silver Creek and Booger Holler Road. There was a $95,000 commemorative Mustang, placing an emphasis on the 50th anniversary of the building of the Mustang. Now you'll like this even better. $95,000, 700 plus horsepower engine. Miriam, what could you do with that? Let me tell you what you could do with it. From 0 to 60 and 3.5 seconds. You might could do it in 2.5, but that's what. And also thrown in for that $95,000, you got 2 days at a Ford racing school. A $90,000 balloon ride that'll take you and 5 guests 100,000 feet up. There's a company called Worldview Exploration, and they have a small spacecraft that seats 6 plus 2 pilots, and you could take that trip for 5 to 6 hours, and they take you to the edge of space. I've got some people that I would like to enlist for that trip. It says it includes refreshments, a bar, and a lavatory. You know, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. The children get all excited. We bring our families together. We also think back over the wonderful memories of Christmas past, and we think about our blessings here. When I think about Christmas, I always am reminded of my parents' live Christmas trees. There's only one real Christmas tree, and that's the spruce or the Fraser fir. And I can recall that fragrance just permeated the entire house. And you could go in their living room where it was off limits unless you had parental consent. And we had icicles on the tree that were placed there one by one, loss of salvation if you threw them up there in clusters. That's the way I see Christmas in Mom and Dad's house. I think one of the most enjoyable parts of Christmas is giving and receiving gifts. Have you thought about why we give gifts? We give gifts because someone is related to us, but not too distant kin. We give gifts because we have friends, and that's why we give a gift. We give a gift because we're required to give somebody a gift. Sometimes we give gifts out of some improper motives. But I want you to know people must love giving gifts because we stand in long, long lines at a cashier stand and we drive in unreasonable traffic in order to get to those stores. Amazon said that in 2015, they reported that online gift buying totaled $56.43 billion. I want you to turn to John 3:16. Very simple for all of you. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wrapped up in this one verse is the whole Christmas story. Wrapped up in this one verse is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I want to do today is with a very simple message. I just want to look at John 3:16 and lay that down next to our gift giving to one another. And I want to share with you three factors that ought to be included in all the gift giving we do to each other and the gift giving that we give to God. First thing I want you to write down is this, the reason we give, John 3:16. We give for different reasons. Sometimes we give because of a need. Sometimes we give because we love a particular person. Sometimes we have a should, ought, and must gear in our hearts, and we just feel like we need to give to a certain cause. But the question is, why did God give His Christmas gift to the world over 2,000 years ago in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? And here's the reason why He gave. It was simply because of His love for us. This is not in your outline, but you don't write this down. God's love is unsurpassed. God's love is unsurpassed. His love knows no bounds. No waters can quench it. No tongue can describe it. That means something. But when we look at this very, very carefully, we see that the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Our human words cannot describe the depth, the height, the length, the breadth of the love of God. Notice God's love is unending. I love Jeremiah 31:3. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You ever think about this? Before you were ever born, God loved you. While you're on the face of this earth, God never ceases to love you. When you enter eternity, God will never, ever stop loving you. Now listen to me carefully. Some people choose to walk with Satan rather than the Savior. I want you to know that God still loves that person. I didn't say they were saved. I didn't say they're ultimately going to heaven. I didn't say that. They have to be born again. But God never, ever ceases to love us. There's never been a time when God didn't love you. Never will be a time when God will cease to love you. Now I want you to notice here further. His love, the love of God, He was so concerned for man's welfare that He carefully marked out for Adam and Eve the dangerous spot in the exquisite Garden of Eden. Somehow, a way known only to God Himself, sin, that mysterious element of evil, had infected that particular tree, and God in His love warned man not to partake of that. And when they did, God pronounced judgment. But also we find out in Genesis that God would do something. In His timing, He would send us a Savior. Notice the love of God made Jesus Christ endure the cross. We think about it was love that restrained Him when He was falsely accused and led to die on a hill. We've read over and over how Jesus could have called down 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 angels to defeat His enemy, could come off that cross and continue with His earthly reign. But it was His love which caused Jesus in a moment of agonizing death on the cross to pause and give His life to a repentant sinner who said, "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." It was love that after every known torture, Jesus looked at His enemies and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you look at Romans 5:8, we find familiar words, but don't overlook them. But God commended His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I heard about a little boy who made out a long list to Santa Claus. And here's what he said. He said, "Dear Santa," he said, "please send me some roller skates." And then he said, "on top of that, I need some video games." And then he listed three or four more things. So he gave the letter to Santa to his dad. His dad read over this long list and he finally looked at him and said, "Son," he said, "I think before we turn this list over to Santa, we need to check your report card from school." Little boy looked back and said, "Oh, Dad, the roller skates will do. There's no need in looking at my report card." We had a God who loved us when we were sinners. And the Bible says that when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. His love is unconditional. The second thing I want you to see here is the real cost of the gift in John 3:16. When I grew up in Augusta, Georgia, I had an older brother and a younger sister. Of course, we were little. We didn't have jobs. Dad gave us a quarter every 2 weeks on Friday when he got paid, the 1st and 15th, if we had done our chores. There was not an allowance in our house. It might have been called that, but if you didn't do your chores, you didn't get your quarter. When Christmas came, our parents wanted us to buy each other gifts. So here's what they did. They gave me $5 to buy a gift for my sister, and they gave me $5 to buy a gift for my brother. My brother and sisters were given the same allotment. Back then, there were no malls. You didn't shop online. The only line we had was a clothes line. And then some of you had a party line, if you know what I'm talking about. Some of you think that's being wild. No, even Baptists, even Methodists had those. They had party lines. Now listen to me carefully. Some Methodists still have party lines. But anyway, I want you to know that back then we had to shop in downtown Augusta. There were no malls. Everything where you went, it was downtown, whether it was H.L. Green's, Woolworths. Wherever you were shopping, you had to go there. We had J.B. White's, that's like Dillard's. We had J.C. Penney's and some other things. We had a place that was owned by a Jewish family, men's and women's clothes, called Reuben's. We loved to shop at Reuben's. They had the most dangerous elevator in town. Well, when we would go there, we had to be very, very careful to spend no more than $5. If the tax came out over $5, Mom and Dad didn't give you a nickel, 10, 20, 30 cents to pay the tax. You had to stay within the $5. I hope you set a budget for your Christmas shopping this year. I hope you've been saving all year. It amazes me when people come to me and say, "Christmas slipped up on me this year." Seems to me it comes December 25th every year, but some of you miss a few days. Last year, Americans online and in the stores spent $830 billion on Christmas gifts. People will spend hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars during this season on gifts, but no gift can ever compare to the cost of our salvation. And think about this. Salvation is free. It's the gift of God. It's already been paid for, but salvation is not cheap. Salvation cost God His only Son, Jesus. Everything cost. Jesus paid the price. Think about those soldiers putting Jesus on that cross. Think about Him carrying that cross up that hill until help was enlisted to assist Him. Think about when His hands and feet were nailed and that crown of thorns was put on His head. You can just look in your mind and you can just picture the blood and the body fluids pouring down. And there He is for 6 grueling hours, paying the price for our sins. I read something the other day that's kind of interesting. You know, when God created the world, all He had to do was speak, and the world came into existence. And then the world was in darkness, and all the Lord had to do was, all God had to do was speak, "Let there be light," and there was light. Do you realize God could not speak and purchase your salvation? He had to send the living Word. He had to send His Son to die on Calvary's cross. God so loved the world, that's the cause. The gift He gave His only Son, that's the cause. Think about the cause of the gifts you give. Think about the cost of the gifts you give. And then the requirement of the gift, the condition. Sometimes we put requirements on a gift. I'm always amused at reading some of the letters that are written to Santa Claus this time of the year. "Dear Santa, you didn't bring me anything good last year. In fact, you didn't bring me anything good the year before either. You've got one more chance." Signed, Albert. Here's another one. These kids really wrote these. "Dear Santa, there are three little boys in my house. Jeff is 2, David is 4, and Norman is 7. Jeff is good some of the time. David's good most of the time. Norman is good all the time." Signed, Norman. "Whosoever believed in Him should not perish." If I offered a gift to you today, you just simply reach your hand out and take it. We don't take Jesus with your hand, you take Him with your heart. And the condition of the gift, it's by grace you're saved through faith. "Whosoever believes in Him should not perish." The Bible teaches that you're saved by faith and faith alone. Let's talk about the act of faith. Faith is an action word. It's not talking about intellect. It's not talking about something intellectual. It's not talking about something that's a belief in your head. The Bible tells us that Satan and his cohorts, the demons, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's not talking about an intellectual belief. He's talking about a belief of commitment. Taking your life with all of its sins and all of its problems, with all its potential, and giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, I had an appointment with a young man and his daughter, 14-year-old daughter, and got an opportunity to share the plan of salvation. When I finished sharing, he said, "I'm ready to trust Jesus as my Savior." The 14-year-old said, "Well, I'd rather do that at home, privacy of my home. I've got no problem with that." And I believe this young man asked me a question that nobody's ever asked me when I've talked to them about salvation. He said, "If I'm going to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, what does this church expect of me?" What was your question? "If I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, what does this church expect of me?" He said, "Have you got that in writing somewhere? I don't want to take this decision lightly." We're not saved by our works. Our salvation is not kept by our works. But I want you to know that if you're really saved, there's not one scripture out here that talks about lone wolf Christianity. I hear so many people, "Well, all churches are corrupt, so we just do Bible study in my home." Hebrews 10:25, "Forsake not the gathering of the saints together." You know what that means? Go to church. You know what else that means? You ought to tithe. That's not a tax, that's a privilege. To give back 10% of your gross income that already belongs to God. It also means that you will pray and allow God to reveal your spiritual gifts and get involved. If you're supposed to be in the choir, get in the choir. But but nothing, has God called you to music ministry? If God's called you to be on a mission team with Billy or with our youth group, you need to get there. If God's called you to teach in our Sunday school, you need to get there. If God's called you to be in our benevolence ministry and help minister to people in our community that are hungry and cold, the kids don't even have the basics that they need, you need to get there. God didn't give us this gift so that we would just sit on it and hoard it and keep it to ourselves. He wants to use us as an instrument of His loving arms to wrap around this world to minister to people in the name of Jesus and get the gospel out to other people. I don't know about you. Things that are in my heart, I get excited about that. Now we have children and teenagers that go to all different schools across the county and the city. Pepperell made it into the football playoffs. And then Rome High, they're going to state for the first time in the history of that school. That school, I understand, they opened an East Rome Walmart and a West Rome Walmart, or a Kmart or something. They closed the schools and put them all in one. I've never heard of such, but that's what they did here. But the first time since the school's been established in 1992, they're going to the state playoffs. They're going to play in the dome. That's every high school football player's dream, but a very low percentage ever make it there. Now I'm going to give you a challenge. I want you to go to one of the mamas of one of those players, or one of those band members today, and you just say something negative about the Rome High Wolves. And you come back and see me later this evening when you've gotten the blood off of you, and you're putting some methylate on those scratches. Isn't that exciting? You know, I was walking down the hall and one of the football players saw me and he said, "Hey man, hope you're going to watch that game." I said, "I plan on it. In fact, I'm going to text my sister down in Augusta and tell her which players, Rome High, go to our church." I'm excited about that. Those guys worked hard for that. And they deserve our support. Listen, God gave us the greatest love gift of all time. And now it is a joy to worship Him with our time, our talents, our spiritual gifts, and share the gospel with lost people. I was reading the other day about a missionary who went to some Indians. He shared the gospel with them, and the chief was so moved. He went into his teepee and he came out and he had his prize bow and arrow. And he went before the missionary and he bowed down and here's what he said. He said, "Indian chief gives bow to Jesus." And the missionary said, "Chief, Jesus don't want your bow." So he went back into his teepee and got the chief's special blanket, and he brought his special blanket out and he bowed down before the missionary and he said, "Chief gives blanket to Jesus." Missionary said, "Jesus don't want your blanket." He went back behind his teepee and got his prize horse and brought it around to the missionary and bowed down and he said, "Chief gives best horse to Jesus." Missionary said, "Jesus don't want your horse." So the missionary bowed down in front of the chief. The chief was puzzled. And he said, "Listen, chief. Chief, give myself to Jesus." You see, that's what Christ wants. He wants us. Why does He want us? What's the cause of His gift? For God so loved the world. What's the cost of the gift? Jesus dying on the cross. Can you imagine giving one of your children, if you had one child, They had to die so we could be saved. Then the condition, whosoever calls on His name shall be saved. Gift given one-on-one. God gave us the seminar with His Son. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed?